For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Parshas Bashalach always is in the week of Tu Bishvat. And tonight is Tu Bishvat, by the way. It's Tu Bishvat right now. So, basically, we'll give you a little bit of a word on Tu Bishvat. The connection between this parsha, Bishalach, which always, again, ends up on Tu Bishvat, and our class here is coordinated. We worked on this for years and years to coordinate this class this year, so Tu Bishvat will be exactly on this class. So I can give you over this word, even though I gave it over last year. Okay, here it is. What's the connection? Now, if you think about it, Bishalach probably has more open miracles, yeah, Yehuda, than any other parsha. Nisim Giluim. Now, we define miracles in two categories. Nisim Nistorim, hidden miracles, like Purim was considered a Nistor. You could look at it as political events if you were, missing a few bolts upstairs. Or you could see it that it was really a miracle, but it's called a hidden miracle. And then there's open miracles. As far as open miracles go, this parsha, Bishalach, chock full of them. More than any other parsha, maybe. It opens up with what? We have the splitting of the sea, which is considered the prototype, the pinnacle of all miracles. Because within that splitting of the sea, there was many miracles. You know that. Split into 12 lanes and like, we could see each other, and the measure springs, you could pick fruit out of the walls of water. Unbelievable miracles. What else is described? We have this pillar of fire at night and a pillar of cloud by day. That led us 40 years. We have the description of the man, which is an amazing heavenly food. Okay? And we have also the description of the bitter waters, where Moshe Rabbeinu took a bitter limb of a tree, threw it into waters, it became sweet, right? And so forth and so on. The man, the splitting of the sea, the bitter waters turn into sweet, the clouds of glory, right? Miracle after miracle. Okay? And then there's Tu Bishvat, which is basically about trees. Your good old everyday tree. Right, that's basically fruits, trees. That's what Tu Bishvat's all about. That's what we always think about. And Gufa, that is the connection. The connection is that you have to realize that the miracles that we see every day that we call nature, that's just as big as miracles as the splitting of the sea. And I'll read you the words. I'll read you these words. Here they are. By Rav Elimelech Melezinsk, and he says these words on the verse, chapter 14, verse 29, that the children of Israel went on dry land within the sea. Uvenei Yisrael halchu b'yavasha b'sei chayam. And it's very interesting. Someplace else in our parsha, it says the opposite order. It says we went in the sea on dry land. Here it says we went on dry land in the sea. Okay? After the miracle, that's what it says when it's recounting it. In Oz Yashir, it doesn't say we went into the sea on dry land. It says we went on dry land in the sea. Because the Bnei Yisrael came to this realization after this tremendous miracle that, you know what? Going on dry land, it's just like going through the sea. I mean, the whole miracle of dry land, the molecules coming together in the sand and the earth that forms a solid ground, that's a miracle. So at the beginning, we went into the sea on dry land. And then through that open miracle, we came to realize that going on dry land, as it says here, chapter 14, verse 29, going dry land, b'sei chayam, is like going in the water. So Rav Elimelech Melezinsk says in these words, he says, B'nei Adam Mispolim, Rakasher Amroyim Nisim Galim. People are amazed only when they see open miracles. And Ein hem mavinim ki ateva atzmo eino ela nes achad gadol. And they don't realize what we call teva, nature, that in itself is the greatest miracle. Sheyesh l'roisbo tadir, it's something that happens on a continual nature. And in it, we're supposed to see sheyesh l'roisbo tadir as godless habayda l'isfal memena. We're supposed to see the greatness of Hashem and be amazed by the wonders of His everyday creations. Right? If you've never seen a peacock, you saw it one time, you know, it's an absolutely amazing creature, right? So the trouble is, you can go to any zoo anytime and see it, so we're not in a spoil over it. And he goes on, what is the purpose of old miracles? The purpose of old miracles, and Rambam says this as well, Rock, is that through over miracles, you're supposed to realize everything's a miracle and recognize what we call nature and see the miracle in that. Rock, Shiroyim, that's gooey. Only when we see an open miracle, La Min Ki Gam, the Chayim Hatzirim, to see that also in our everyday life, Kayemet Hashkachas Al Yona, that the God's supervision of the world is continuous, and there's Nisim all the time with us, miracles all the time. But what's the problem? Af Ki Hakol Ragilim Bahem, we're used to them. We see the sun getting up every day. We see all the beautiful vegetables and fruits, right? Ve'ein Mashkichim Bahem. So we don't pay attention to them. You know, the best thing in the world is take a kid to the zoo. You see things through a child's eyes. You know, we think they're foolish. No, they got it right. We got old. We lost these chadshus and chayim. You know, they see things. They see the wonders that we've got used to. It's a great thing. So Zeshama b'nei Yisrael sharu ne'er shalchu b'yam. So that we already explained. So this is what it means, that b'nei Yisrael saw the miracle. Just like going into the water, right, on dry land, they came through that, the recognition that even when a person goes on dry land, that's also tremendous. That's a nes nifla, like they're going in the water. Okay? That's what he says there. Very important to remember this. That's what Tu Bishvat's all about. Everyday miracles, tremendous wonders of vegetables and fruits and trees every day. The celebration of Tu Bishvat is nothing more and nothing less of a celebration of God's continual miracles that we call nature. And as it's been said, nature is nothing more than a miracle on a recurring basis. That's what nature is. That's what the definition of becomes nature. Nature, the pen name of Hashem. That's what you call it. I know you like these little cliches. Another thing. Guess where the first bracha of benching comes from? Hazan es hakol. That's right, from our parsha. You know who composed it? That's right, Moshe Rabbeinu. And he composed it with the falling of the man. Isn't it interesting that Chazal took that for our benching over food? What does that tell you? We say the same bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu said over the man. It's telling you that the food that we eat, yeah, Yehuda, get excited about this. The food we eat is just like man, right? The trouble is that, you know, man came, halecha min ha-shamayim, right, is no less a miracle than halecha min ha-aretz. But we get it every day from the aretz, so we don't say it's a miracle. The truth is it's a bigger miracle because it happens on a continual basis. Just like they bring in the Midbar, all the miracles that happened to us, they said the manna was the greatest miracle. Why? Because it was the splitting of the sea was great, don't get me wrong. One time shot. Right? The manna was continuous every day. How much more so is the miracle that of our fruits and vegetables and all our food, that's even more than 40 years. So, continuously. So that's the lesson, that's a little vort on Tu Bishvat. Okay. Right. Now, we'll go on. B'shalach, as we'll give a quick review of the parsha, which we basically did already, but we'll do it again. B'shalach opens up, right, that B'nai Yisrael leave Egypt, right, and what happens? They get boxed in to the sea. Paro's heart is hardened again. He runs after B'nai Yisrael, right? Israel's backed up against the sea, right? Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem, what to do? Travel into the water. That act of faith of going into the water, right? That, and the leader of that was Binyamin and a gentleman from the tribe of Yehuda. Nachshon ben Aminadov. It went in and the water went up to the neck and it split. The merit of that bitachon, the sea split. Afterwards, they collected more of a booty. I like that word. It has to be now south, doesn't it? Booty. Anyways, they collected more of a booty from the Yam Suf than they did even from the Rechush Gadol that they took out of Egypt. And again, they traveled. The clouds are described, as we mentioned. We have the incident of the bitter waters, which are turned into sweet waters, miraculously. We have an incident where they complain about water, and Moshe is told to strike the rock. Right? This time he's to strike it, and he does. And then we have the whole episode of the man is described, right? And basically, the end of the parsha tells us about the battle of Amalek. Okay? Very significant, especially with Purim around the corner. Let's back up, hit some insights. Number one, we will take questions from time to time. Number one, the one thing that I kind of left out of this whole parsha, which will probably concentrate more than anything else, is the Shira. This is called Shabbos Shira, right? And therefore, Diane Mannheim, who has such a sensitivity to these things, named her daughter as such. All right. Shabbos Shira, this is it. It's a special Shabbos, and we sing Az Yashir, which is part of our everyday davening. Now, the significance of a Shira is in itself, it's more than a praise, more than a thank you. It encompasses those, but it's more than that. A Shira, a song to Hashem, basically is saying, I see everything you do is in harmony. What I thought by itself, the pratim, individual events and happenings, didn't make sense to me, right? I see when it's all together, right, it makes sense. It's a harmony, like a shira, like a song. So a shira, singing shira, is an acknowledgement of all of God's acts, all of His things that have happened and events in history being in total harmony with each other. That's why it says that we learn Techias HaMesim from this verse. Az Yashir, in future tense, then we will sing. So they say from here, Mikan Techias HaMesim in HaTorah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says from here we learn that there's a resurrection of dead. The resurrection of dead will come back, and again they'll sing Shira. Needs an explanation. Another thing that needs to be explained, if you look at the end of Parshas Shmos, right, when Moshe was told by Hashem, you know, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, right, I'm not going to listen to you. And what happens? Sure enough, his heart is hardened, and the labor gets much worse the last 6 months there. And Hashem, and Moshe Rabbeinu is very bad to him. In fact, he says a very amazing language to Hashem. If you look at the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, he says, Hashem, Lama Yerushalam, why have you done evil to this people? Lama Zeshalachtani, why have you sent me? Here it is, verse 23. Umeaz. That's the key word. From the time you sent me to Paro, speaking your name, it's gotten evil for this people. And you haven't saved them. Umeaz. So the Medrash says here, Moshe said, you know, I sinned with the word Az. Umeaz batzi leparo. From the time I came to Paro, you made it evil. I'm going to fix it up. I'm going to praise you with Az. Az Yashir. What's the significance? Question number one. And the other question, of course, is why the resurrection of the dead, they'll sing another song. Again, harmony, song. When you hear a violin by itself or a trombone by itself, it just makes a noise. But in harmony with all the other instruments, you have a beautiful symphony. When you see a Kodesh Baruch Hu's events isolated, a Holocaust, a pogrom, the children of Israel, the last 6 months in Egypt, where terrible things were happening, it looks terrible. But then, when you see things afterwards, in retrospect, in totality, you see that it was for our ultimate benefit. That little bit of suffering allowed us to come out 190 years earlier. Now, afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu and the children of Israel sang a song, not just on the redemption, they sang a song on the Golus, on the bitter times as well. That they're both two halves of a whole. Right? That's what a shear is. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I sinned with Oz. I just saw one prot. I didn't connect it to the end of the redemption. I just saw the suffering of the Jews. Now that we're out of Egypt and I see the totality of your works, why you had to do what you had to do, why we had to suffer next 6 months. It was for our benefit to get out early. Now I sing a praise for even that source. So the ultimate song, right, it says, from here we learn Techiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead from the Torah. That's the ultimate song. That will be the greatest song. Why? Because that time, the times of Mashiach, right, then we'll see clearly how everything that happened in our history, in the events of Israel, in our individual lives, were all for our benefit. Like Kodesh Baruch was always watching over us, and everything that happened was for our ultimate benefit. So then we'll sing a tremendous shira and praise and thanks to Hashem for all the source that we thought was source, but turned out to be good. I can give you many examples. You know, things that happened to you in childhood, right, that you thought was either your parents, you know, made you do certain things or take certain piano lessons that you hated and you missed out on thing, and then the person, you know, now enjoys the fruits of those labor, right? Back then he was suffering, he hated it, right? Whatever it is. Spirituality is the same way, but more so. Whatever reasons we needed to go through what we needed, it built us up spiritually. And that is why Egypt, amazing, in Deuteronomy and Devarim, is called a Kur Barzel, a cleansing furnace. In fact, the truth is, had we been able to take it, if we spent all the 400 years there, we would have never needed another Golus. Somehow that would have cleansed us to a point we didn't need further rectification. It's a hard concept to understand. Okay, so that's the Indian of Shira. Other things we learn, Zekeli. That's a famous line in Oz Yashir. Zekeli ve'anveyu. This is my God, and I'll glorify Him. Okay, two things we want to learn from here. One, I'm just going to touch upon, because we're going to come back to it, God willing, in a few weeks. Zekeli, ze. The word ze always refers to pointing to something. Comes up a few times. Right? Like Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time figuring out what the menorah was. So Hashem said, make it zeh, kazeh, like this. And He showed him. He had to show it to him. Right? So Zekeli listened to the Mechilta. The Medrash says the following. Rashi brings it down. Zekeli, this is my God. They pointed to Hashem. Whatever that means. Shirasa shivka arayam mashalora yechezkiel ushar nivim. Even a maidservant, the lowest in Israel, saw what even the prophets and Ezekiel didn't see. They saw an unbelievable vision of Hashem. And this is going on. Why do they mention Ezekiel's name? Yechezkiel, why do they mention his name? They mention his name because Yechezkiel had the famous vision of the Markava. I think it's the Haftorah of next week. That Markava is that mystical chariot with the four holy animals, this whole thing. Remember that, because those four holy animals, right, there was an image of a lion, an image of a man, an image of an eagle, and an image of a calf. Remember that when we discuss the golden calf. It wasn't a simple sin. Okay, the last word in that line, ve'anveyu. This is God, ve'anveyu. From here, we learn, the Gemara and Shabbos learns, that the concept of hiddur mitzvah, to embellish a mitzvah, to make it nice, right? To get nice tzitzis, get nice lichbench for Shabbos, right? To embellish and dress up the mitzvah. Very big thing, again, that theme that we always talk about, using the physical to enhance the fear of the spiritual. Anveil, okay? Many, many things are learned out from the word anveil, besides the word in anveil of no'ah, making nice, pretty, right? Also is, the anveil is the word ani v'hu. The anveil, ani v'hu. Me and him. What does that mean? Havi daimelo. Try to emulate Hashem. You see, what is it? We learn from Hashem, you know, He came and visited the sick. He visited Avram. We learned to visit the sick. He is gives chesed and is kind and merciful. So therefore, we too, with our fellow man, must be kind and merciful and give the benefit of the doubt. Okay? Ve'anveyu, anivuhu, right? Mahu chanim v'rachum af ato. He's, you know, all merciful, so we have to be. Okay. Listen to this, a very important verse, chapter 15, verse 7. Chapter 15, verse 7. Taretz Kamecha Rashi. If you have a Rashi translation, it's amazing. The Hashem destroys basically those who come against them. What does it mean, those who come against them? Mi hem akamim negdo. Who are those that call against Hashem? Elu akamim al Yisrael. Those who go against Israel. Alright? Va'al zeh kaya oisam oivav shel makom. And on this, they're called enemies of God. Whoever comes against Israel. And I can't go into it, but deep, subconsciously, the anti-Semitism for no reason is because they know that we represent spirituality. There's also, I can't go into all the ramification of this, but this, you know, whole thing that we suffered in Germany and everything, there's a deep-seated hatred for the symbols of morality, of spirituality in the world. Right? And the ones that symbolize this the most, and Germany is an heir of that, is a Moloch. And that's why, which usually something so un-Jewish to hate, you know, to hate and to hate and to obliterate and to blot out, a Moloch were commanded to do it. Because to hate evil is to love God. And a Moloch is that symbol who wants everything spiritually wiped out. We're going to continue on this theme. If you look at the end of the Parsha, it says, in reference to the battle of Amalek, the very last verse, what does it say? It says that Hashem will have a war with Amalek from generation to generation. Right? Medor Dor, by the way, very interesting. Baal Turim says Medor Dor is Gematria Yimei HaMashiach. Until the times of Mashiach, then it will be obliterated. But look at the verse carefully. This is chapter 17, verse 16, by Yomer Kiyad al Kais Ka. Very interesting. It doesn't say Kisei, God's throne, Kais. The whole throne, spelled in Hebrew, is cut. It's not mentioned in the whole. Right? There should be an off then. And Hashem's name is in half. Right? And I believe if you look at Rashi there, He'll tell you that here it says a mild case. Why does it say case below Namar Kise? It doesn't say Kise. And also, Kodesh Baruch Hu's name's in half. Nishba Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu swore She'ein Shmo Shalem, the Ein Kiso Shalem, that his name is in whole and his throne will not be whole. In other words, his divine presence revealed on earth. That's his throne. Ad Shiimcha Shmo Shema Amalek, until the name of Amalek will be obliterated. Right? And then the Shiimcha, when his name is obliterated, Ye Hashem Shalem Vakise Shalem, then his name will be whole and his throne will be whole. Okay? So that's, you know, all this talk about tolerance and, you know, liberal, you gotta be careful. It's not blanketed. Those who are out to uproot evil, you're not supposed to have mercy on them. And of course, this doesn't go, you can't also go the other extreme and use this for anybody, right? But Amalek is that nation. Nazi Germany is a direct descendant of that nation. Okay, moving on. Any questions, by the way? People can adopt a philosophy. Right? Like if people can be a convert to Judaism, they can convert to a Moloch. They can join the ranks. And those people, you know, you see sort of like Farrakhan, you know, people like this who are, you know, outright, you know, there's no doubt about it, right? So they're in that ranks. Okay, moving on. Chapter 15, verse 22, describes B'nai Yisrael going 3 days without water. Now, you know, we have a lot of metaphors and synonyms, and one of the most popular one is that Ein Mayim Ela Torah, that water is really Torah. What do I mean? You know, just like 3 days here, they went without water, right? And they asked in a little bit of a chutzpahdik fashion. In other words, you don't have water for 3 days, you have a right to ask for it. But the way they asked for it wasn't proper. So, you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu realized 3 days without Torah made him speak without manners, without derech eretz. Because Torah gives a person derech eretz. It's supposed to, right? Therefore, from here, he gave them certain laws to learn, the Paraduma, Shabbos, Kibud Aveim, right? So, it's very interesting. And also he gave him physical water. But it's interesting, again, this physical-spiritual parallel. Just like the physical body cannot go 3 days without water, so too the spirituality, the neshama of a person, cannot go 3 days without the spiritual water of to be sustained, Torah. Therefore, from here, they were metaken that no 3 days go without reading the Torah. Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos. Right? And sure, we take out the Torah Monday, Thursdays, and Shabbos. From here that comes from. Okay? Okay, now we learn a lot of things from the Mon as far as our customs on Shabbos. Okay, or even halachas, right? For example, chapter 16, verse 4. Before I get to that, I just got to describe you an unbelievable description of the Mon. You know, what was it? It's described in the Torah, but the bottom line is that it was a spiritual food that gave you insights to Torah. You know, we had three gifts in the desert for 40 years in merit of, like, our three leaders, if you will. Okay, even though Moshe was the leader, but, you know, these three were great people. And Miriam, we got the well of water, right, for 40 years. Aaron, we got the clouds of glory, right? And Moshe, because Moshe, we got the Mon. So it's very appropriate that Mon gave you spiritual insights in the Torah, right? So if you're looking for a physical food, it was, you know, terrible. You know, that's why they could complain about it. But if you're looking for spirituality, right, then the Mon, that was it. That was the thing. And of course, it was a merit of Moshe because he was the giver of the Torah. But listen to this description by the Ramban of what the Mon was. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda ben Chisma, the Milas Hayom Shibnei Oilam Haba. Okay, the second. Amon was Ziv HaElyon. It was Ziv HaShchina Megusham. It was it's unbelievable. The divine presence in a material form. Like it came down, it was purely spiritual. As it came down in the physical world, it took on a physical garb. Just like an angel is a pure spiritual being. It has no physicality. When they come down, they take on a physical form. Okay? And that fits very well that this is the food Shemalchei Asharis Oichlin. This is the food that the angels on high eat. Okay? So, he goes on to describe, this is very similar to what's going to be in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, next world, Ein Bo Achila, there's no such thing as eating. Ein Bo Shtia, no such thing as drinking. Eile Tzadikim, Yoishvim, Tzadikim are sitting with crowns on their heads. Benemi Meziv Hashchina, and they just bask in the pleasure of the divine presence. Right? And this is what the Mon was. Now, what happened to the Mon after we ate it? There was leftovers. The leftovers, they say, melted into the streams, and the deer would drink from these streams, and the nations of the world would hunt these animals, okay? And they would eat the meat of these animals, and since the animals drank from the water, the Mon came in, they got a little bit of the Mon. Now, one of the things Chazal is trying to tell us with this little story is that the nations of the world always benefit in an indirect way through us as a channel. Okay? So they say subconsciously, they don't know they're doing this, that the anti-Semitism is because subconsciously they realize, or their mazel realizes, that we really are the center and the flow of bracha for the whole world, and when we're not doing our job, there's a certain resentment. They don't know that, why they're doing it. But that's the reason they say deep in the subconscious part of the reason for it. So they all say it's a hook. There's no rhyme or reason to it whatsoever. But it always boils down to us not doing our job completely. Okay, because we control the flow of blessing to the entire world. We're the conduit. We're the faucets. Okay? Okay, we're getting very mystical tonight, aren't we? Now, I started to say, we're going to learn a lot of things about Shabbos customs, halachas, that from the mind. For one, chapter 16, verse 4. Right? Now, we have three meals on Shabbos, right? Okay, and that is from this verse. On this verse, it says the word Yom three times. Good. Sorry. In this verse it says the word Hayom three times, right? Ichlu Hayom, eat it today, Kishabis Hayom, right? Hayom lo timsei obasada. Okay, three times, that's what we learned with Shal Shittus, the three meals of Shabbos. By the way, you know, they say the third meal of Shabbos is the one that you can tell whether you ate the other two for the sake of heaven or just because you're hungry. Because, right, the first two meals are normal meals. Everybody has dinner. Friday night, evening, right? Shabbos day, lunch, everybody has that, right? The third meal is not a time you normally eat. So it shows in retrospect by eating that meal that your other two were l'shem shemayim for the sake of heaven. So it's very interesting. If you look at the verse, it says, "Vayim Moshe echlu hayom, eat it today." That could go on the first meal. Kishabes hayom, that goes on the second meal. La Hashem hayom, to God today, on the third meal. That's the one that's really to God. That's the one that's truly La Hashem, the Shalosh Shudas meal, the one that you're not hungry. That's or even a fruit. And they say also Shalosh Shudas that there is some, it is the makel. But before everybody gets very makel lenient, listen to this. Okay? From the Gemara and Shabbos. These three meals. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Okay? Mishum bar kapra. Kol ha-mekayim shrei shudas b'Shabbos. Whoever eats the three meals on Shabbos, nitzel mishleishes pranas. He'll be saved from three bad happenings. Mechevle shel Mashiach, from the birth pangs of Messiah. Okay, again, whoever has three meals on Shabbos, he'll be saved from three big sufferings. Number one, from the birth pangs of the Mashiach, right? The tremendous upheaval before Mashiach comes. Medina shel Gehenom, from the judgment of Gehenom. And Milchama Gog Magog, and from the war of Gog, like a big world war, Gog Magog. Okay? So, I don't know what to tell you. It's a good thing to do. Okay? But again, if you're at the point, by the way, that you can't eat it and it's just going to be gluttony, then that's not considered eating. Gluttony is not considered eating. So, what the Halakha states, the Shulchan Aruch says, a person who has eyes in his head will eat his second meal, he'll cut down a little bit, so we'll have room for Shalosh Shudas. You got to plan ahead. Remember, these things, it's mitzvah, oineg Shabbos. Not oineg yourself, but oineg Shabbos. But you have to plan these things. Okay. Other things we learn from the Ma'an reference to Shabbos, it says on the sixth day that Latu Lechem Mishneh, chapter 16, verse 22, Lechem Mishneh. Okay, from here they learn that a person, Lechem Mishneh, that you're supposed to have two loaves of bread, right, each of the Shabbos meal. Another thing they learn from here, Rashi brings it down, right? What happened? When they measured it out on day six, Friday morning, they gathered the usual portion of man, right? Every day they gathered the portion of man. Day six, something happened. They gathered the portion of man, all of a sudden, it was a Lechem Mishneh, double. It became double. A lot of things are double on Shabbos. Shamar V'Zachor, you know, a lot of things are double. And it became two Omers, right? So that teaches a lot of things. Of Kosh Baruch Hu blesses Shabbos. You don't have to work. A person will never lose out on sustenance. That's what the mind represents, right? Of Kosh Baruch Hu will always reimburse. He'll give you a double portion on the sixth day to make up. You know, you don't have to work on Shabbos. But listen to the a medrash that Rashi also brings down, not only is it a double portion, lechem mishneh, but read it lechem mishuna, a different type of bread,
right? It changed. L'shvach, b'recho, b'taymo. Mechotah says it changed. Its flavor, its smell was different than all the other days. You know the famous story of the cholent and the Caesar, you know, from the Caesar was friends, I think, with Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, right? And the cholent, where did you get that spice? You know, I searched all over my kitchen. We can't get a cholent to taste like yours. There's a special spice. It's called Shabbos. You're not going to find it, right? And it's true, you know? Whoever ate leftover cholent on Sunday night knows, right? That Shabbos food has a special, it's blessed with a different fragrance and a different taste. So that's what we learned from there, the double bread, and it's a different taste. Other things in reference to the man, I read someplace, I can't find it right now, but I read that the man, what happened was, I think Or HaChaim brings this down, that what happened is the man came down. Oh, here it is. It's a Zohar. The Or HaChaim quotes the Zohar. It says, "Kibyom Shabbos Yarod Hamazon Shakol Sheishes Yimei Yimina Shavua." That the on Shabbos, that the sustenance came, was a blessing. It came for the whole 6 days of the week for the man. Okay, Moisu Mazon Yoyi Davar Yom BeYomo. And from that, like, I don't know, source, the man came, its daily portions, its daily rations. That's what the Zohar says. That's very interesting because that's very much what we talk about in the prayer L'chadodi, that Shabbos is Makor HaBracha. It's the source of blessing. That Shabbos gives a blessing to all the 6 days of the week. That's what the Zohar says. From Shabbos came the blessing of the Mazon Shokol Sheshes Yamin. Of all the 6 days, Lamala, it was held up there in the sky. From Shabbos, all 6 days, Lamala was there. And then it started falling day by day, each portion. And that's exactly, again, the man representing sustenance. That's what Shabbos is, the source of bracha. People used to come to the Chofetz Chaim and ask him for a bracha, for sustenance. And he says, I'll give you the ultimate bracha. Keep Shabbos. That's the source of blessings, and that will give you a bracha the rest of the week. Okay. By the way, speaking of all these great miracles, Ramban, Nachman, he says the greatest of all miracles, he says, is that that you had this wind, and it was done on purpose by a wind that split the sea into 12 lanes, right? And we went in there, and after experiencing 10 plagues, Paul and his people still went after us. He says that's the greatest of miracles. Okay. This other miracle, one miracle after another here, were the bitter waters. They came to this place, Marah, right? And the waters were bitter. So what did Hashem tell Moshe do? Take this bitter limb of a tree, throw it in the bitter water, and it became sweet. A lot of lessons to learn from there. For one, says again, Ramban, Nachmanides, that Kodesh Baruch Hu taught, Shadarachu Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Shehu Mamtik Hamar B'mar. A Kodesh Baruch Hu makes something sweet from bitter. From the bitter, he makes it sweet. No, it's Gufa from the Tzoras that a person's going through, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring his salvation. Right? Well, it seems like a bad thing. Right? Oh, Purim's the greatest example, right? Muhammad cast the poor, right? He ended up, you know, and then he's being destroyed. He built the gallows, the greatest thing that happened, because he, at the opportune time, Akshvar saw it, right? He was hung on his own gallows. He got all this wealth, seems disastrous, and after some with all that wealth, it was great, because it all went over into the hands of Mordecai, right? And so forth and so on. So only a Kodesh Baruch can do this. He makes sweet from the bitter itself. So that should be a source of comfort for us in any individual problems people go through, right? And as a nation as a whole, from that Tsar itself, Kodesh Baruch Hu bringing through. It's actually quoted in the Navi. The prophet says, "A Tsar Hilu Yaakov Umemena Yivashaya." From a bitter time, from it itself will come the Yeshua, will come the salvation of God. Okay? Something to keep in mind. Okay. Okay, another interesting thing. Ani Hashem Rufecha. It says, I am Lord, the God that heals you. This is chapter 15, verse 26. Right? And therefore, what does it say? 15:26. I'm the Lord, the God that heals you. And therefore, Chaku Mishpat, I believe it says, V'shamartim kochukaisav, you should listen to all my listen to my mitzvahs and do my commandments, right? Why? Then the verse says, Ki ani Hashem Rofecha, I'm the God that heals you. So what it's telling you here, this connection between healing and doing the mitzvahs is obvious. Says the Das came in the Bali Taisus. He says, I'm the Lord God that's warning you. Before, don't do anything. I'm a viachal day machla that will bring you illness and hurt and pain. Sha'avera maybe the day machla. A sin brings a physical illness. Va mitzvah ki refuah la adam. A mitzvah is the healing. So Hashem is saying, that's beautiful. Look at the verse again. Hazantel means freestyle. Listen to his mitzvah. Shemata kohukav. Do his commandments. Why? End the verse. Kini Hashem Rofecha. I'm the Lord that, I'm your healer. I'm your doctor. The doctor's giving you the ultimate prescription. Do Torah mitzvahs and you won't have any illnesses. You won't have any problems. Also, there's different types of yisurim. There's yisurim hava. There's this thing in Gemara called yisurim of hava, afflictions of love. Right? I can't go into it, but that they stole that concept that a tzaddik can actually suffer for the generation. Rabbi Hanina ben Doisa lived in poverty, and because of him, they said no one in that generation, I think, suffered even a toothache or something. Right? He took on suffering for the entire generation. So there's a lot of things, right? And again, I want to mention, ain't tzaddik ar shelo, you know, that doesn't do some sin. So Yaakov Avinu was praying, to answer your question, you know, if I do have some sins, you know, let me have it here. But there is a lot more. There is different type of yisurin, right? And most of, I think, Rambam writes a tremendous insight that most, you guys should get this book, Lisa Aiken. What is it called? I'll try to bring it in next time. Something God. She talks about suffering. She collaborated with Rabbi Kirzner, Allah Shalom. Right, right. So anyway, she quotes Rambam there that it's like 90% of suffering we bring on ourselves. We have free will. We bring certain problems on ourselves because of free will. Like only 10%, some amazing statistic like that. And Jay Young, she documents her stuff. She's not making it up. Okay, let's move on. It's a good question, though, but there's a lot to the equation. Okay. Very important to realize this verse. Chapter 16, verse 29. Re'u ki Hashem natan lachem et Hashem, et Hashem gave the Shabbos. You know the natan, right? Or if you're Ashkenaz, Nochem, right? The matana, very similar word. Matana is a gift, right? I don't know if there's a connection there. But it is interesting in this case, Hashem gave you the Shabbat. It's a gift. It's more than just a mitzvah, right? You know the famous story that everybody had a mate, you know, the first and second and third, and Shabbat didn't have a mate. So Hashem says, Israel will be your mate. You know, everybody still that says, Yeshli Matana Taiva, I have a special gift in my house of treasures, right? And Shabbat is its name, right? So a person is supposed to reflect on that day, on Shabbat, that Hashem gave us Shabbos. Me'ein olam haba. It's a little glimpse of the future world, of ultimate tranquility, of pure spirituality. That's what Shabbos is supposed to be. You know, a person can keep all the laws of Shabbos and miss the whole spirit of the thing. Right? And lose it in the cholent. Right? So he's telling us here, behold, what I gave you, the Shabbos, ein zu mitzvah bovad. It's not just a mitzvah. Right? But it's a matana, and then he quotes that famous Gemara, matana, teva yeshu deves, I have a special gift in my house of treasures, it's Shabbos Shema, Shabbos is her name. Okay, so it's something pusher, you know, the ultimate holiday happens every week by us, and that's Shabbos, and we sometimes take it for granted, we got to appreciate it. Shabbos is a special time, tranquil, sit back, think, what's going on, you know the famous saying, more than Israel kept the Shabbos has kept Israel. It means it's a time without it. We get so fatook, you know, in the world, you know, and going on and racing from here to there. We never stop and think what's going on, where we're headed, what's happening in the world. Shabbos at hand. Spontaneous, you know, explain and think. Solitude is good. Meditate. Whatever it is. Whatever your method is. With the family. Whatever it is. Think about higher things. Spiritual things. What's going on in the world. My relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. right? There's a time. It says Shabbos is only given to learn Torah. The Torah was given on Shabbos, by the way, for that reason. Right? Okay, Torah. This is spirituality. That's what we're supposed to get into Shabbos. Got to make our Shabboses more Shabbosic. You know what I mean? Right? It's not just a day that you kick off from work. Okay. This is cute. Yashir, it could be divided up into Yud Shir, where Yud is the numeric value 10. 10 songs are in the world. There was 10, there was this swan at the sea, Az Yashir. There was the song of Miriam at the bear, they sang a song on the bear, on the whale of Miriam. Ha'azinu, the Parsha Azinu, right? The song of Yoshua, when the sun stood still. Zavora sang a song. Chana sang a song when she was no longer barren. Dovid HaMelech sang a song. Shlomo HaMelech sang one. Chizkiah, the great Chizkiah, sang a song. And finally, the 10th one, as we already mentioned, that will be the ultimate Shira, Chasam Esim. Okay, that's the Baal Turim, since it's hinted there in the word Yashir. Az Yashir, future tense, right? Az Yashir, and this being the first one, Yud Shir, there'll be 10 songs. Okay. Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Abdo, it says in Az Yashir, chapter 14, verse 31. To teach you, now you guys have to hear this one. Probably the most important thing I'll ever tell you here. Right, that they believe in Hashem and Moshe's servant. Lemolacha, teach you. Anybody who argues with his rabbi, as if he argued with the divine presence. And anybody that believes in the words of our sages, as if he believes in a God. Now, of course, this is talking about our leading sages, Ramban, right? Or the leading sage of your generation or your city, whoever the Mordasra is. Right? Okay. Chapter 14, that's very important because you have to remember they're an ambassador of Hashem. They have a special, what's called Siyat Yishmaya. Everything they do, Kosh Bo gives a guarantee, a person who is sincere and trying to lead his community or his country or whatever, it is, he's given a special Siyat Yishmaya to come up with the right decisions. And you have to believe them and realize that. And the classic example is next week, actually. Moshe, on his own, adds one day to waiting, separating from certain physicality before the giving of the Torah. Hashem said to wait two or three days, and Moshe added a day. Now, and from there comes the power that when the leading sage some says something, that becomes Torah. So much so that it says, this is last week's Parsha, we're covering all Shemaisa, and last week's Parsha, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month is to you. What does it mean? If you sit there, Hashem was going to follow suit. Whatever we say, if today is Rosh Hashanah, right, but the basing down here says, no, we're making tomorrow Rosh Hashanah, Hashem says, take down the prosecutors and defense attorneys, my children say tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, that becomes the reality. That becomes the reality. Okay, so that's the path. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants us to be a part of him in the creation of the world and in running the world. Now, of course, obviously, this has to be with the ultimate, the most sincere motives. A person can't play games with this, or that's heresy. Chapter 14, verse 28. In this Yom Suf, they all went in, right? No, lo nishar b'hem ad echad. Very interesting language. There wasn't left of them but one. Ad echad. But, there wasn't left any of them, even to the very last one. Ad usually means ad v'lo b'chlau. Up to, but not including. So, what happened? They'd say this one person survived was Paro. Paro was plucked out of Yom Suf, and he ended up being, you ready for this? The king of Nineveh. And when Jonah came to him, right, and said, do tshuva, Hashem's going to overturn this place, right, when Jonah finally did do the mission, right, so he got down from his throne, and he wore sackcloth, and he got the whole people to do tshuva, as he remembered. So it's very interesting. This is kind of a continuation of last week where Hashem said specifically to through Moshe that Paro would have destroyed you a long time ago if not to show the great wonders that I have to show. We'll close with this final clip here for today. Hamachra asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. Chapter 15, verse 26. The illness that I put, the sicknesses, the sores, the afflictions that I put on the Egyptians, I will not put upon you. Why? Ki ani Hashem rofecha. I am the Lord that heals you. Says the Malbim. Very important. People get sores. They have afflictions, right? So there could be two types of afflictions, right? Give me affliction, you know, if someone gives you affliction, it's because he hates you. He wants to get vengeance on you. Or there can be like a doctor, right? And he has to do an operation. It's painful, you know, or gives you a bitter medicine. It's painful, it's distasteful, whatever it is, but it's for an ultimate benefit. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, the illnesses, the sores, afflictions that I gave on Egypt, I will never put on you. That was strictly nekama, vengeance on the Egyptians. I'm the Lord your God who heals you. If I give you affliction, my kinder, my zisa, my beautiful children, if I give you afflictions, if you have to have them, know I'm doing it not so much as a vengeance or a punishment, but because I am your healer and I want you to get well, I want you to, like a child, misbehave, I have to punish you for your ultimate benefit, right? Okay? Your ultimate benefit and your ultimate healing, beruchnius, in spirituality, right? So you will, that will cause you to do tshuva, right? So therefore, I'll give you a patch. Hopefully that will do the trick. It doesn't, I'll have to give you a harder patch, you know, a harder pogrom. That doesn't work, a Holocaust. You know, what does it take for you to wake up? Right? Again, the question is never, why does God do this to us? How could he let it happen? The question is always, how can we let it happen? Right? Hashem is the healer. If he does it, it's only because it's a last resort. And it's only for our benefit, for us to wake up spiritually. And many more people have come back to Judaism from calamities than they have from the other extreme. When blessings have been bestowed on them, they've strayed away. And it should be God's will that we will take the peace and tranquility that this country has to offer us and use it properly and come to God in that way, and we won't have to come to Him the other way. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos, a Shabbos Shira. Yirtzeh Hashem, we should be zeicha to see the ultimate Shira b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.